You have your Bibles this morning. We invite you to turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter number 13, verse number 51 and verse number 52. Jesus saith unto them, have you understood all these things? Now, what's Jesus referring to? He is referring to the seven parables that he has already shared in this chapter previously. Again, Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. I want to preach this morning on this thought, the householder, bringing forth things new and old. Something new and something old. Now, Father, I pray that you would bless us as we enter into this time of preaching. God, may you help us to exalt the name of Jesus. And may you help us that we might edify the saints of God and the sinners, that they might be evangelized. And that would all be done through the power of your Spirit. Now, Father, I pray that you would give us the words that only you can allow us to speak. You'd inspire our stammering lips. You'd loose our tongue, Father, and you'd allow us to preach the word of God. And then, Father, I pray you'd do a work in the ear of each person here. You'd open their ear and allow them to hear. Even if there's a sinner here, dead in trespasses and sin, God, I pray you'd set them up today. And you would allow them to hear the word of God. And then, Father, as you speak through their ears, God, I pray that that would find a place in their heart. You would stir the hearts of men and women this day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Number one this morning, when we consider these verses, I want us to see the presentation of the parables. Now, there are four things here that we need to see. First of all, Jesus, after seven parables, asked the disciples if they have understood all these things that he has taught them. And their word, their response to him was, yes, Lord, we understand. Now let's go back through these parables. First of all, the Lord Jesus, he was in the house. He left the house. He went to the seashore. Great multitudes followed him. He sat down in a ship. And he began to speak as the multitude stood on the seashore. And he taught them in parables. The first parable is the origin of the kingdom. It's important that you know that. The origin of the kingdom is the parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow the word of God. The sower is the Lord Jesus Christ. He sowed it in the field and it found four different kinds of soil. And the soil represents the human heart. And if a sower went out to sow seed, some might fall in the pathway. And that represents the seed that found its way to the soil that was by the wayside. It was a pathway. It rejected the seed of the word of God, hard-hearted to the things of the Lord. That was one kind of soil. The other kind of soil was stony ground. It take root and it sprouted up, but when the sunshine of trials and tribulations came, it quickly wilted out and died. Not a real conversion, not true. The third kind of soil was the seed hit the soil that was choked out by the thorns. In other words, the seed, it took root, it began to sprout, but the thorns, the cares and the concerns of this life choked it out and it could not bear fruit. And then there's a fourth kind of soil, which was the good soil. That which was wholesome, that which was fertile, where the word of God found its way into the heart of the man and it began to bear fruit for the glory of God. That is the origin of the kingdom. The origin of the kingdom is, hey, from the seed of the word of God. Then we see, second of all, the opposition that comes to the kingdom. And there's three parables Jesus gives about the opposition of the kingdom. The first one was the parable of the wheat and the tares. Again, the sower goes out to sow. And he sows. And he sows wheat in his field. And as the servants of the master, they go and rest that night. They've had a hard day working in the field. The enemy came, and the enemy sowed tares amongst the wheat. And shortly they all began to sprout and take root together,
And the servants ran back to the master, the householder of the field, and said, "Sir, we sowed wheat in your field, but now tares are coming up amongst it. What should we do? Do we go and pull out every one of the tares?" And the master said, "Nay, let them grow together. For if you pull the roots of the tares up, you may also uproot some of the wheat. So just let them grow together. And at the time of the harvest, I'll make the separation. That which is wholesome, the wheat, will be gathered into the barn and will be blessed. And that which is wicked, that which is corrupt, it will be gathered and bundled up and it'll going to be burnt." Second of all, in this opposition of the kingdom, we see the parable of the mustard seed. Just a little old bitty mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds. And well, the mustard seed, which represents the gospel kingdom, it's sown. After, 21 days, the mustard seed will turn into a mustard plant. And within a year, it can grow maybe 12 to 15 feet tall. But something strange happened to this mustard seed in that it became more than a plant, more than a shrub, more than a bush. It became a tree. And it sprouted branches. Now we know there's something abnormal about that because mustard seeds will always produce mustard plants. There is no such thing as a mustard tree. In other words, this became organized and became some of our modern day churches making merchandise and selling things. And we've got birds of the air, social gatherings now, social clubs within the churches. That's false doctrine. It's false teaching. It's never what the church was meant to be. It's an opposition to the kingdom. It is Satan's counterfeit. Then there's a fourth parable, which is the third of the opposition. And it was a woman who took three measures of meal and she began to add water to it and she began to knead out some dough. And then when nobody was looking, she took some leaven, which represents sin, and she hid it in the new lump of dough. And now a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And see, Satan wants to infiltrate the church to cause us to have false living and to cause us to have false doctrine, to tell us, well, in the day in which we live, there are certain things that ought to be accepted, which the Lord said was sin. Then he goes and gives us another parable, and we come down to the parable here of the hidden treasure in the field. And that gets us to our third point as he's teaching us. He teaches us first about the origin of the kingdom, a sower. The opposition of the kingdom, the wheat and the tares, the mustard seed and the leaven. Then he gives us, thirdly, how are you going to obtain the kingdom? Now he leaves the seashore, he goes back in the house, and he begins to teach him about the parable of the treasure hidden in the field. And we know that that treasure hidden in the field represents the nation of Israel. The field is the world, and the children of Israel, they are living in the world. And through Israel, the whole world can be blessed. If you bless them, amen, God will bless you. But if you curse them, God will curse you. Okay? So the Lord Jesus comes to his own, born of a virgin. He begins to reveal unto them himself, his power, his glory of his kingdom. And they said, "We will not have this man to be ruler over us. Let him die." And they crucified him and said, "Let his blood be on us and our children." And so the treasure of Israel rejected the Son of God. So what did he do? He put them right back in the field and he covered them back up. He died on the cross. He gave everything that he had that he might obtain or redeem or purchase the field of which you and I are part. And one day, not only is he coming to claim his treasure in the field, but he's coming to claim his whole field. He bought it, amen, it's all his. That's how we obtain the kingdom. Then the next one was the pearl of great price. You remember how an oyster gets a grit or a grain of sand in it that wounds the oyster and it secretes a substance called nectar. And over the course of 3 to 5, maybe 7 years, that a pearl inside the oyster is formed. And our Lord Jesus Christ, our sin hurt him. It harmed him. But he shed his blood that our sins might be covered, that they might be forgiven, that we might be saved. Amen. Praise God, you and I this morning have been given salvation. Nothing we did to earn it. Nothing we did to obtain it. He simply gave his life that we might be saved. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he gives us a fourth thing here. And it is the outcome of the kingdom. And it is found in the parable of the net in chapter 13, verses 47 through 51. And it represents a dragnet, being anchored to the shore and anchored then to a boat and stretched out maybe a half mile long, and that boat would open up that net and it would catch or encompass everything in its pathway. Then after a certain time, the fishermen would say, "It's time," and they would draw that net to the shore. This is a type of judgment. It is a net of judgment. It catches everything. There's none. Listen, none of us are going to escape judgment. Not one. And as this net is brought to the shore there, the good was placed into vessels or gathered into vessels, vessels of honor, and the bad were cast away into a furnace of fire and represents hellfire. We know that for sure. And Jesus gave to these disciples these mysteries, these secrets. He revealed to them about the origin of the kingdom, about the opposition to the kingdom, about how to obtain the kingdom and the ultimate outcome of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said to these disciples, he said, "Have you understood these things?" And they said, "Yes, Lord, we have." I want us to see not only the presentation of the parables, number one, but second of all, we come to the preparation of the pupils. Look at verse 52. "Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." So Jesus said back in verse 11 to these disciples, "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Up to this point, the disciples are understanding everything that Jesus teaches. They are well versed in the things of the gospel. In fact, they have the greatest preacher of all. His name is Jesus. And it is certain this morning that if those disciples are going to instruct others, they must be first well instructed themselves. And before you're ever going to go instruct others, you must be well instructed yourself in the things of God. Jesus said, "Therefore every scribe." What is a scribe? A scribe is a trained teacher in the Word of God. In fact, he is considered to be an expert in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, these disciples must be amazed that Jesus has called them scribes, because they are fishermen. They're a rough bunch that Jesus has transformed their life. I'm telling you, you go down to the coast amongst these fishermen, they are some of the most wicked, depraved men, their language ungodly. I've got a cousin, his name's Danny, was a fisherman his whole life. I'm telling you what, a hog gut sinner. He'd tell you that himself. A wicked, depraved man. When Jesus went to transform men's life, he went to the fishermen, those who were overlooked, those who were neglected, and said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." That amazed them. They began to follow him and said, "Can he really transform my life?" I got news for you. He can. He changed my cousin Danny's life. Danny brought 7 to 11 rows filled with people to the house of God that were fishermen, wicked, defiled men, just like himself, who run around with prostitutes. Brought them to the house of God, drug dealers, and they got saved. All 7 to 11 rows got right with God, and they brought in their friends. And I want to tell you what, the pastor told me, he said, "I wish I had a whole church field, them old fishermen just like Danny, who just don't know no better than to believe God can do it all." Amen. Amen. It's what we need in our churches, amen. So now Jesus says to this rough bunch, transforming their lives, kind of looks like you and me, doesn't it? We were sinners. We were in the muck, in the mire of filth and sin, and he came to us and he lifted us out of the horrible pit and set our feet on a solid rock and established our goings. And he says, let me teach you something now. And he starts teaching us about the origin of the kingdom. And we get it. And he says, let me tell you about the opposition of the kingdom. And we get it. And he says, let me tell you how to obtain the kingdom. And we get it. And he says, let me tell you about the outcome. There's a judgment coming. And we get it. Jesus said, now if you're going to go out and preach, you're going to need to know these things. I've well instructed you. He called them scribes. Don't you know these boys said, wait, we're not scribes. We are fishermen. We are tax collectors. But Jesus said, I'm likening you to an expert in the Old Testament law. That amazed him. In fact, he's speaking to you and me too. If you know these truths, if you've been taught these truths in these last few weeks, or you've known them most of your life, Jesus, he said, you're like a scribe. You've been well taught and well instructed. Okay? Jesus is giving them enlightenment, understanding, and revelation. Jesus is preparing to send them out to teach and to preach. They're becoming skillful, faithful ministers of the Word of God. When Peter and John went down to the temple, there laid a man who was lame on his feet, who was begging for alms. And Peter said to him, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hey, it's going to take a lot of faith to reach down and get a lame man, pull him up, and have him stand up and walk. Woo! Took a lot of faith for the lame man just to get up. But these boys, okay, got arrested for that act. I mean, that lame man, when he got up, he started running through the temple. He started shouting. He started praising God. And the people said, calm down. We're all civilized here. Just, why are you getting so excited? Well, I tell you what, if you've been lame on your feet spiritually for your whole life, and the Lord empowers you to stand up and walk, you might run too. Amen. They arrested Peter and John. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 4 about Peter and John, verse number 12, said when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. Amen. Jesus has been preparing his pupils. Glory to God. Let me say this morning, church. He's been preparing you and he's been preparing me to go out and tell a lost and dying world that Jesus still saves. Number three, let's see the proclamation of the precept. Jesus says that every scribe, that's a trained teacher, which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven, that's the gospel, is likened to a man that is an householder. So he says the disciples are like householders. Now what is a householder? A householder is considered to be the master or the head of his house. He is to be a steward. The householder, the one in charge, has that entire household under his watch and under his care. And the Bible says, Jesus' words, that this householder bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. What is the treasure of the householder? Treasure is that which is precious, that which where things are collected, stored or laid up, might be placed in a storehouse or in a storeroom. I went through our house last night, I was looking. I got this thought come to my mind. Do I live in a well-stocked home? I went through last night, I said, okay. Lord, if that's true, then what is our treasure? Some people's treasures, valuables. You keep them in your house. You wouldn't put them in a safety deposit box if they give you one. You keep them at your house. Some of you, you have valuable china. You'll never eat off of it, but you always put it in the china cabinet and you love to look at it. Grandmama gave me that. Oh, it makes you feel so good about yourself because your valuables is in your china. Some of you, your valuables is in a set of tools. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not much of a mechanic. My tool set's just got a little old toolbox with pair of pliers, needle nose, maybe a hammer, a Phillips screwdriver, a regular screwdriver, you know, common, normal things. But some of you, man, you got ever size wrench, and man, you got ever tool that's ever been made, and you're waiting on them to make another one, another new one, so you can get it. That's your treasure. It's your tools. Some of you, your treasure is your kitchen utensils. Man, you got every gadget, all the old things, all the new things. You got all the newfangled things. You got things that strain, things that drain, things that improve, things that make it easier. I mean, you got kitchen utensils, and some of them was given to you by your grandma. You know that rolling pin you've threatened your husband with? You've been given it by your grandma many times, and that's your treasure. Yeah, man. Some of you, your treasure's your gun collection. Some of you, your treasure is your technology. You got big TVs, big computers, nice stereos. But all those things are great, but I can't eat any of them. Do you have a storehouse? Some of you got things stored in the attic. Some of you got things in the basement, things in the cellar, things in the closet, things out there in the barn, things you got hid. But I'll ask you this question. I went through and looked last night myself. Is there any food in your pantry? We got jars and cans of green beans. Yeah, man. Got all kind of cheeses and crackers and cereals. And man, they've plenty of food in the pantry. Thank God. My wife does a wonderful job. Every time all them boys come over to our house, and they clean everything we got out, she goes right back to the store and fills it up again. She makes sure that our house is well stocked in food supplies. I'm asking you, Christian, do you have a well-stocked home? I'm not just talking about the green beans and the corn and all the cereals and the oatmeals and the things like that, the tater chips that you got. I'm talking about, do you have treasure in your heart of the Word of God? Is Jesus in there? That's a treasure. Is the Word of God in there? That's a treasure. I mean, I promise you, if your pantry got low, you'd be saying, oh, we better get down to the Ingles store. We better get to the Walmart. There's a storm coming. It may snow soon. There'll be a million people run down there lined up. You'll get gasoline for your car. Do all the things you need to do. But I'm going to ask you, what did you do to study the Word of God? What did you do to pray to say, God, help us through the storm? Well, I never thought about that, Preacher Dad. I just made sure my pantry was well stocked because I know what it's like to get hungry. Jesus is teaching and preaching to them the Word of God to make sure their pantry of the soul is well stocked in the Word of God. The householder is in charge of ensuring that the storeroom contains everything needed for his family. We've got to get ready. The storm is coming, and we must have a well-stocked home. Jesus wants the householder to bring forth food and nourishment from the Word of God. The true householder will make sure that there's plenty from last year's growth and this year's gatherings. The wise householder will store up what he's just gleaned. Turn to chapter 12, verse number 35. I'm almost done. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. What good things are you bringing forth? Mom, Dad, what good things are you bringing forth for your children? The Bible says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. And I'm telling you what I found. Grandma had canned everything from here to kingdom come. She had things I didn't even know what it was. She had ever jelly. She had apples. She had green beans. She had canned everything. And if we ever got hungry, Grandma said, go get you what you want. She'd go get me a box and said, go down there and get you some jars and take home, put it in your storehouse. Hey, woo! You go down there to the Word of God and you get whatever you want and you make sure you get your storehouse filled up. And I'll tell you what Grandma would do. She'd run right back out there to the garden while she had all them things that she'd canned. She'd go right back out there. She had green beans and tomatoes, you know, and corn. And man, she worked up there in that garden. And oftentimes she'd come in and she'd say, here's a fresh mess of green beans. Yeah, Grandma. She did a good job of mixing in the old storehouse with the fresh vine. Jesus is the true vine. And we need the gleanings from the fresh Word of God. Yeah, man. The householder wisely mixes in the old and the new and keeps them in balance so nothing at all is wasted. The Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. Let me tell you what. You know what our Savior, our groom, we're the bride. You know what he likes? He likes when we prepare a meal. Not just at the fellowship hall, but at the old-fashioned altar when we say, Lord, come down. Accept my praise. Accept my thanksgiving, Lord. It's for things old and for things new. And would you fellowship with me? Amen. Woo! And boy, he delights. He inhabits the praise of his people. Amen. Jesus asked his disciples. He said, have you understood all these things? They said, yes, Lord. If you are a householder then, you know these things of old and new, and you'll know that an Old Testament expert in the Scriptures will be able quickly to jump into New Testament truth and teach you that Jesus is the Savior by the grace of God. Amen. We must evangelize the sinner. We must edify the saint. We must exalt the Savior. Amen. Such as I have, give I thee. Amen. Just Jesus, just the Word of God. It will get the job done. Yeah.